Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
A great message.
Thank you. So, it's Father's Day today, as many of you, well, hopefully everyone in this room knows, but yeah, so today me and John have been asked to speak around the verse in Psalm 145, it's verses 4 to 6, it says, "One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendour of your majesty, and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of your mighty awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness." And I was thinking about this in terms of like one generation to the next, one generation shall commend your works to another. And thinking about like Father's Day and thinking about all the different things that come alongside it. But sometimes Father's Day can be a bit of an overlooked event. Right? It can sometimes be it's Father's Day this weekend. I better go to Asda and get the card from my dad. And sometimes actually Father's Day can be like the source of a lot of ripping for like dads. Because, I mean, we don't need to look any further than Mother's Day cards and Father's Day cards. So for example, here are some Mother's Day cards that are coming up on the screen. Isn't that cute? Have a great day, Mother. That's a good card. That's really nice and cute. Right, next one. Oh, this one has ducks. That's cute, isn't it? It's like, best mummy ever. That's really nice. Next one, Sophie, thank you. And then this one, it's like, to the best listener, cook, hugger, teacher, fixer, taxi driver, happy Mother's Day. Isn't that just like beautiful? Let's go to Father's Day cards now. Dad, I know you said not to waste my money on a Father's Day gift, so I didn't. There you go. Or let's go to the next one. Happy Father's Day, Oldie. What about the next one? And this is the funniest one, because these cards are funny. And like, Dad, when I grow up, I hope I'm as funny as you think you are. Now, these cards are good, but fathers need some love as well. So we're going to today's theme around this: one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. In this verse, it's talking about like generations passing on and showing God's goodness to the next generation. And one commentary says that one generation shall praise your works to another. David looked for God's people to encourage each other in praise. An older generation, so there you go, older generation, let's just clarify that, might inspire a younger generation to praise by remembering God's mighty acts in the past. A young generation might stir praise in an older generation by declaring the fresh and new things that God is doing. And no wonder our cards are a bit brutal, like, because even in that passage, it's like these commentators know that David was thinking about older folk. But yeah, but we all know that this kind of passage is a statement of honor. It's a statement of honor to the generations that are before and the generations that are after. And to start with, like, I've been thinking about my own generations that have kind of passed on to me, like different things that God, that you can see God's works in their lives and you can see different things. And so today I'm just going to talk about something that I've learned from my dad. And hopefully it'll be a blessing to you guys. And we see this in God works in each of our lives. And I'm very thankful that I was brought up by God-loving parents. I was dedicated in a Salvation Army, and Paul Reed said last week that people were in the room because at some point someone has prayed for you by name. And I fully believe that this is the case for my family and for my parents, and I'm thankful for how my parents modeled like godly characteristics and traits. Like, and since it's Father's Day, I'm going to focus on something that I've noticed from my dad. Now, he's probably sitting worried, right? But I'm going to focus on something, and yeah. So one of the things that I've noticed is over the course of my life is that my dad's always been generous. Yes. I know that my dad is a hard worker, and I know that he does things well. And growing up, Dad worked shifts, and his work, and he was often out really, really early, or he was out really, really late and throughout the night. But Dad always looked after us as a family. And when I look back at different points in my own life, Dad has always been consistently generous to his kids, and often at his own sacrifice. So, for example, years ago, my dad gave my younger sister Stephanie one of his kidneys, and that was that's a massive like thing to do. Yeah. And it's that kind of shows that there's nothing is off limits, and like when it's for your children. And I think that there's an example of real like sacrifice here, and we see this from not only in our own parents I see it in my own father, but I see it in God and how he was willing to put himself forward for his children. Now, Dad, that is an extremely generous act, but one of the other generous things that my dad has done is that when I was 13, hands up if you know what Xbox Live is, or any like gaming subscriptions or that, right? Anybody, or if you have an Amazon subscription, does anybody have an Amazon, Netflix, Disney Plus, like any of these things, right? So you know how they're like, especially Amazon's like an annual like subscription? So what happened was, when I was 13, my dad generously offered to get, for my birthday, an Xbox Live subscription, right? So for the year. This was the gift that kept on giving for 10 years, because it was a subscription. But it's changed now. Now I am paying for it, don't worry. But it was really an amazing gift. So yeah, but I believe that God does work in our lives that the next generations will see. God does works in our life, and sometimes there's things we can laugh about, but God does work in our lives that will not just be seen by the people around you, but it will be seen by the people that are in your future as well. And I think that from generation to generation, just like we see in this passage, we aren't a finished article, but we learn from God, and we can learn from those who walk with God. And one of the things I hope to see in my life, as I've seen in my dad's life, is that I want to be generous as well. And I believe that I want to be generous with my time and with the things that I have, because God himself models generosity, and we see it all the way through the Bible. There are so many passages of scripture which speak about God's generous nature. And I'm sure that many of us in the room could speak and could testify to the fact that God is good, and that God helps us when we're in difficult situations. I know even from the past few months that God is so good, and that God will help you when you're at your lowest points, and God will help you when you feel like there is no hope, that God will give you a gift of hope. God will give you a gift of amazing things. But when you look at the verses in the Bible that talks about God's goodness and talks about God's character of goodness and generosity, it says loads of things. So that you can go to James number 1, verse 17. It says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." And then it says in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14, these are just going to go through these, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given only what comes from your hand. God is going to give you, God doesn't withhold good gifts. It says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Some amazing promises here. And then in just earlier on in that passage, it says in verse 8, it says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there will be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it." God is a generous God, and God is willing to, like, one of the things that I think is incredible is that if you ask, God will give you what you need. It might not always be what you want, but God will give you what you need, and God will help you in wherever you find yourself. In Malachi 3, verse 10, it says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." I think that that's a very special verse, because we've all got things in our heart, and I believe that God places things in our hearts that we want to see happen. And when we ask him, and when we come to him, and we say, "God, this is what I believe you've put in my heart. This is what I believe that I want to see in my life, in my community, in my family," that God is there with you. that God is right there with you, that God is generous with not only his resources that we've seen, is that he'll open up the storehouses, he'll give what he has, and he has the cattle on a thousand hills, and he is willing to not only just give you what you need, he is willing to be there right beside you every step of the way. And I think that is like a father coming alongside and helping his child. In Psalm 37 verse 4 it says, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Because I believe that the Holy Spirit also comes to give gifts. The Holy Spirit wants to give us gifts for not just right here, right now, but for all of our walk in life and walking with him. Because God is generous. Do we desire to have this characteristic in our own lives? Do we desire to be generous like what we've maybe seen in generations that have gone before us? But do we desire to be generous like how God is generous? We can't ever outgive God.
No.
We can't ever do that. But one of the things that we can do is we can try. And God will show us just how generous he is in return. And we'll be overwhelmed, I believe that. And what can we give generously that will cost us? Because an obvious example is that we could give financially. But it could be time. If time is something that we find a challenge, that maybe it's given time, maybe it could be given words. What are some things that stretch us a little bit to be generous in? Like, because I think that when we give something that's easy, it's not often going to be very hard, is it? It's going to be just not going to stretch us like as much as it would be if we were given something that's difficult. And so it could be our words. It could be opening up our home or hosting a meal. We can actually see in the Bible that Jesus is generous in these ways. He's generous in the ways that he opens up his life to those that are around him. He invites people that are social outcasts and people that wouldn't get invited to anywhere, that Jesus invites them into his circle and his places where he has meals. You can see that he's generous with his words and he encourages those that follow him and encourages those that actually are downtrodden in society. We can be generous with our words and we can actually be generous in so many different ways because he gives what he has. Jesus speaks life into others. He extends an invitation to his table and to those whom it would be countercultural to invite into your house. And it's hard, but it's something that we can all can do. In fact, the more we do it, generosity is like a muscle. The more we do it, the easier it gets. Will you pass on generosity to the next generation? What work will God do in the life of those that you will see in front of you, and the life that others will see behind you as well? For me, I pray that God will continue to work in my life, and that I will become a more generous and sacrificial person, just like what we've seen in the Bible, just like what we see in Jesus, and what we see and what I've seen in my Father as well. So let me just pray for us, and then John's going to come up. So Father, I just pray that you'll help us to be people that are, let's read what we see here and take it into our hearts, Lord, and apply it to our lives, Lord. Help us to be generous. Help us to be like Jesus and open up our lives to those that are around us, Lord. Let's not be stingy with what we have, but Lord, let us be generous with our time, with our words. If we see something kind or something that we should say about something, Lord, let our mouths be open and free with kind words, Lord, and let us just be people that model our lives after Jesus. And Lord, that you pray that these works that you do in our lives will be seen from generation to generation to generation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Gregor. I've never had the card with the oldie on it yet, so hopefully take note that I don't want that card. I was just looking at the Happy Father's Day on the way up there. It's a day to honour fathers and father figures, isn't it? Such as grandfathers and fathers-in-law. I'm all these things. And I'm looking forward to the treat that's in store for me. I'll just put that out there. Last year, Alison thought of a good gift for Michael and myself. It was an extreme virtual reality motor racing experience. And she thought that'd be a great idea. I think, looking back now, she'd been as well saying to the two of us, would you two like to go for a motion sickness day out? once we get started and we jump to the car, get a headset on, away we went, and you know, after a few rounds round the circuit, I was feeling it. But I looked off and Michael had retired to the pit stop lane. I thought we're going to have to call 999 for him. But no, that's a memory, and I'm going to sort of speak about memories today. It's not always been a celebration for some, though, as the origins of Father's Day are surprisingly solemn. Father's Day is generally believed to have started in 1908 by a West Virginian woman who missed her own dad. And Grace Clayton had lost her father several years before, but she was roused to act by an incident that would shake her town for generations. In 1907, the Monongah mining disaster in America left 1,000 children fatherless, and when 250 fathers perished in an explosion in the mine. And inspired by that, she asked her minister in the local church to dedicate a special service to the victims of the disaster, in memory of unforgotten fathers. So that's how it started. It started in the church all these years ago. Life is full of memories, things done, isn't it? Challenges faced, mountains climbed, some good, some difficult. Some amusing, as I said earlier, and some sad. Perhaps one of the greatest physical gifts that God has ingrained in the human body is the gift of memory. Our memories allow us to relive that moment that was special to us, or to remember people who were once part of our lives but are no more. At times, maybe a photograph comes up and we find ourselves reminiscing about the past, able to do that with our memory, by recreating the scene or the event with our memories. Memories are special moments that strung together tell the stories of our life, aren't they? Memories created are important. They can remind us how much we are loved by someone who is no longer with us. Sometimes we don't realise how much until we look backwards. It reminds us to be careful in life what we do, not making the same mistakes which may have cost us dearly sometime before. It can remind us to avoid certain situations or saying things which could strain and break relationships. Memories can remind us how to live in life in a meaningful way when God is in the centre. My dad, we're talking about Father's Day. My dad passed away about 14 years ago, but I've got great memories of him and the way he consistently lived his life for God. I saw that actioned on a daily basis. There were really only two verses out of the Bible that he passed on to me, but I still have them to this day. Both had a huge impact in my life as a young guy growing up and going through school and college and all the rest of it. But he only really sort of talked to me about one and gave advice in that, and this is the verse that it was: put God first in everything, and you won't have to wear yourself out trying to get things. The other, he simply lived out as an example by his life, and it's found in Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? I've quoted this one sort of often. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. People who knew him back then still comment that he set the bar high, and he did. And he set it high for me, and I looked quite like him quite often. You know, when he was older, one day I was out for lunch and somebody met him up this main street. He was about, 20 years older than me, and she said, "Did you enjoy your breakfast this morning?" He was looking blankly, because she thought I was him. So I looked like him, but really I want to be able to act like him and live in the same way that he did, with these scripture verses at the heart of things. The problem with memories is that it can fade, can't they? Yeah. Remember when the Queen pointedly remarked in a statement, "Some recollections may vary." In other words, some memories may fail. David in Psalm 145 that Gregor mentioned, that Michael gave us to speak on this morning, realised that memories could fade long before that statement was made. So he encouraged the passing on of memories to those following on behind. And as it said in Psalm 145 and verse 4, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. In other words, the older generation handing on the baton to the younger generation. A verse that makes it more specific is probably found in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. It says, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And then it says at the end of that, make them known to your children and your children's children. So we have a responsibility, don't we, to pass on the things that God has done for us. When all of the Psalms David wrote, at least 73 Psalms that he wrote, what comes over to me is probably a kind of saying that maybe you'll catch on to. It's if you see God doing something, then say something. And that's really what the Psalms said. Don't keep silent. Let people know. Pass on the good things that God is doing to you. How often we pass over things that God does in our lives, don't we? And when we live our lives day by day, and with the chance to tell others, and let let these memories slip on. Accounts of God's intervention in the circumstances told to others can be the backbone of a testimony which could help those following on behind to accept the Lord Jesus. Psalm 145 is a psalm of praise, and we've done a lot of praising this morning with the songs that were sung. It's considered the final one that David wrote, and it's really a summary of all that he had learned about God over the years of his life. And it's recorded here for us so that we may also become more aware of God and the things God will do for us if we'll simply trust him and then pass that on to the following generation. It's a psalm of good news for us today if we're feeling low, if we're feeling anxious, if we're feeling fearful. And others need to hear that too. Michael mentioned in his prayer about people who are phoning the church now to ask for help, to ask us to pray for them. People need to hear about God. So really, you know, I would ask the question, how has God worked out these verses in your life? Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion in all that he has made. Verse 13, the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. Yeah. Verse 14, the Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. Yes. Verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him in truth. The Lord, in verse 20, the Lord watches over all who love him. No exceptions. No. If you love God, he watches over you. In verse 2 of that psalm, David says, every day I will praise you and extol, glorify, lift high your name forever and ever. That psalm really encourages us that giving praise to God is not just for today, but any day, every day, all day, forever. We're often encouraged to improve our prayer life, and rightly so, but we can note from the reading of this psalm and the following five psalms up to 150, they're all praise psalms. We're very much encouraged to improve our praise life. Yes. So we can improve our prayer life and improve our praise life. If we improve our praise life, then our prayer life will improve, because yes, we see God doing things. And if we improve our prayer life, then, you know, it's a chicken and egg situation, isn't it? You improve one, you see results from the other. For us in the older generation, the oldies, as it said in that card, Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, states, the further we move through our lives, the more we should give God praise, because at the end of our life, our hope is in a future world of everlasting praise. So the nearer we get to heaven, the more we should accustom ourselves to the work of heaven. I thought that was a great line. And in Revelation 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 11 and 15 and 16 and 19, we hear all about how we'll be praising God when we get to heaven. So how do we pass the baton on? How do we let others know? I did a wee thing, and I've got a wee thought in my mind about how I can do that. Obviously, you know, we can invite people to things. We've got buses going to the crusade. We can invite people along. One of the things that I've challenged myself to is buying copies of the Message Proverbs. When you open it up, it says this in the first opening verse. These are the wise sayings of Solomon, David's son, Israel's king, written down so you will know how to live well and right, to understanding what life means and where it's going. A manual for living, for learning what's right and just and fair, to teach the inexperienced the ropes and give our young people a grasp in reality. So I've set myself a challenge on that. I've just bought another 10 of the Proverbs, the Message, because it's a great book and it's written in a way that people can relate to. And I've challenged myself to give these away to younger people or anybody really who I meet in business. I went to a session with some guys earlier on in the year where I had done a job down in England and made a meet up with the team, and I took a book for them as well, but on top of that I gave them a copy of the Message. And really that's a creative way, I think anyway, of passing God's word on, praising God, because there's nothing more important than God's word, is there? And so, you know, let's think about creative ways where, you know, we as we get older can pass the baton on to the younger generation. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.